This got my attention over the weekend in San Francisco at legendary Candlestick Park. They had a special flag football game, the Legends of Candlestick, the final football event at the old stadium on the bay in San Francisco Bay. On the line with us, a gentleman who covered that game for the San Jose Mercury News, Daniel Brown. Daniel, thanks for being on the air with us tonight. We appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You know, I've been to Candlestick probably a half dozen times over the years, Daniel. Is the place at the end, maybe even for a long time, has been kind of a dump, but there have to be fond memories of that stadium for 49er fans, huh?
Well, that's the thing. I think Joe Montana, who played in that flag football game and was kind of the ringleader, spoke to the crowd afterwards, and he said what you said, like, it's dumb. It's not a great stadium, but, you know, the memories that that team made there for all those dynasty years, and Montana the Clark for the catch against the Cowboys, and all the records that Jerry Rice set, and the five Super Bowl teams, that's what's going to be remembered about the Candlestick era more than the crumbling old stadium and elevators that don't work and rotten playing service. All those things are kind of forgotten Saturday night.
I heard Eddie DeBartolo, the former owner, on a Sirius radio interview today, and he was talking about how the players loved it, and I'm thinking they could not have loved the amenities there. I mean, I've been in that home locker room at Candlestick. There was not, especially by today's standards, there was not a whole lot special about that part of the building, was there?
No, it was. I mean, it's incredibly cramped, especially now. You look around the modern stadiums and the amount of room that these guys have and should have. Right, these are huge human beings getting paid a lot of money to go out and be prepared to go to battle. And the Candlestick, I mean, right up until last year, they were kind of squeezing in there, towels thrown over each other's heads, and you know, there's no place to walk, no place to stand. So the new stadium, Levi Stadium, is a very welcome sight, except for those who have the nostalgia for the old place.
Yeah, well, nostalgia, I would imagine, reigned on Saturday night for the Legends of Candlestick game. And you were even there on Friday, where they had a little bit of a practice for the players involved on Friday, huh?
Yeah, that was the Friday practice was the first hint that this was not some these guys were not mailing it in. I was really impressed with the fact that they loved to be there. They loved to be around each other again. They had Jerry Rice and Steve Young and Joe Montana and Jeff Garcia, Roger Craig, Dwight Clark. I mean, they really did get all the greats back. And just watching them interact with each other, even Montana and Young, who had those famous quarterback rivalries and didn't always get along during their playing days, you know, it was a really happy time for those guys. And then when the game started Saturday, you know, the question is, you know, these creaky 50-year-old ex-NFL player is going to put on much of a show, and they could really play. I mean, Montana looked like Montana, just kind of scanning the field and making the right throw, and Jerry Rice has always took pride in staying in shape, and that was still the case. He was flying up and down the field. So, you know, it was neat. I give credit to them for getting into the event and treating it really sincerely.
And they had a team of all-stars they played against, including former Dolphins quarterback Dan Marino.
Right, Dan Marino, Drew Bledsoe, Tim Brown, those guys all looked pretty good too. From what the organizers said, if they were to be believed, they had to turn players away. They were getting calls from guys saying, "Hey, I want to play too," because those guys, if they missed it during their actual playing career, if they missed their chance to play with Marino or to play against Montana or to settle a score with Steve Young, for whatever reason, this was their chance. So guys flocked from around the country to come be part of this, and they literally had to turn guys away who were saying, you know, for example, Anthony Carter, who had a huge playoff game for the Vikings against the Niners at Candlestick Park in an upset. I think it might have been 88 or 89. Uh-huh. He wanted to come do it again. You know, he wanted to come play. And we're going to had to say, sorry, our rosters are full. So it was that kind of weekend.
And what I read about it, it was what you might expect for summertime weather at Candlestick Park. It was kind of chilly, right? Just like the old Giants games.
Kind of chilly, kind of blustery. So that was kind of neat. I mean, I was down on the field for most of the game, down on the sidelines, and the wind was howling. So it was interesting to me to see that Marino and Bledsoe could still kind of rifle the ball through the wind. Dave Craig was one of the other quarterbacks. He looked just fine. So, yeah, it was kind of a fitting ending. And you know, if the game was rigged, it didn't look like it, but the final play was certainly scripted, organized, and Montana had concluded that there was only one guy who should catch the last touchdown at Candlestick Park, and it wasn't Dwight Clark or Jerry Rice or John Taylor. It was he picked Eddie DeBartolo.
Wow!
So for the game-winning touchdown pass. As time expired, they all kind of let, you know, the defense kind of let it all happen. But Eddie DeBartolo kind of snuck on the field to the surprise of fans. And Montana threw this short little two-yard lob, and everybody crossed their fingers that the 76-year-old ex-owner would make the catch, and he did, and the place went nuts. So that was a scripted ending, and they got what they wanted because he caught the ball. The referee signaled touchdown, and time went off the clock, and then they carried their owner off the field on the shoulders like a movie.
Storybook ending. And the crowd was sizable, right? 25, 30,000 folks?
Yeah, I would say, you know, organizers said 30,000. I think most would guess a little less than that, but not that much less. And those who were there went bonkers from start to finish.
What happens to Candlestick Park now?
You know, they're going to need some more events there, and there's no more football stuff. But the one thing they're kind of crossing their fingers for is the Beatles played their last concert at Candlestick Park. That's one of the venues claimed to fame. Paul McCartney has told city officials, hey, you know, let me play there one last time. I don't know if that's going to happen, but it hasn't been completely ruled out yet. So that's something to watch for. And then at some point, they're just going to blow the place up. I mean, it's near a I think the plan for that land is to become a housing development. You know, the Niners have a brand new place to play, and it's pretty far from Candlestick Park, so they don't need that land for football reasons anymore. I think it's going to become housing right there by the bay.
Hey, Daniel, I want to get to the new stadium in a second, but I did see a quote from Eddie DeBartolo who talked about issues and quirks at Candlestick, but he said it had character and personality. How would you describe the character and personality of Candlestick Park in a football sense?
Well, that's good. I mean, Montana's big issue with the place was he said that because it was a baseball venue too, that especially in those early season games, the dirt from the infield, when it was so windy, you know, regardless of the weather, it was windy in Candlestick. The wind would blow in your face, and the quarterback would drop back and get a big gust of infield dirt in their face. So that was some of the character they talk about.
Yeah.
When the tide was in, the field would get soggy because the water level under the field would kind of raise a little bit. So that was an issue they had to deal with. They were calling for characters at Candlestick Park. I think that's going to be one of the casualties of moving to the new place is all these kind of, you know, whatever the San Francisco version is of blue-collar fans, I don't think they're going to make the trip to the very pricey Levi Stadium. So a lot of those colorful characters from the Candlestick days, that made the place fun, too. I mean, it was crazy loud at times at that place. So, you know, wasn't that well-designed, wasn't that beautiful, but they played some great football there.
Talking with Daniel Brown of the San Jose Mercury News. He was there on Saturday night for the Legends of Candlestick game, the final football game at Candlestick Park, and now the move to Levi Stadium. Daniel, give us a sense of the geography, and you've referenced it a couple of times. The new stadium is in Santa Rosa. How far away is – or Santa Clara, rather. How far away is that from the
– Right. It's in Santa Clara. It's roughly 40 minutes south of San Francisco, maybe 35, 40 minutes south of San Francisco, and maybe 20 minutes north of San Jose.
Okay.
So – it's really a lot more in the heart of the Silicon Valley, where all those where all the big money guys are now, so that there's a lot more corporate sponsorship going to the stadium, this Levi Stadium. They've really put an emphasis. I haven't seen the inside yet. I've seen it from the outside. It's terrific. They've put a lot of emphasis on making it for the Silicon Valley crowd. It's very high-tech in terms of the scoreboard and the internet access and the kind of displays that you'll see around the stadium when you go to the concession stands. One of the cool things they've done at the stadium, and other stadiums have done this too around the NFL, is they've incorporated a kind of a Hall of Fame museum type place to salute the teams. You know, it's got this great history with the five Super Bowls and all the Hall of Famers. There was never anything like that at Candlestick. There was just kind of the numbers up in the rafters up around the top bowl of the stadium. Now they're going to have an exhibit where there's jerseys, and I think some of the Super Bowl trophies will be there. Teams can get a sense of the past year-round. It's not even on game days. It's going to be open all year-round. So that's kind of a new, cool new feature at the stadium.
I read somewhere that you mentioned it, 45-minute drive. It's about 38 miles from south of San Francisco, the farthest distance of any NFL stadium from its home city. How's that gone over with San Francisco fans?
Yeah, you know, this has been so long in the works that I think they've kind of come to grips with it. What's the last stage of the grief process? Acceptance.
Yeah.
You know, at the beginning when there was the rumblings that they were going to build this thing in San Jose, Dianne Feinstein, the former mayor of San Francisco, led an effort to say, look, you can't take the team out of San Francisco and still call it the San Francisco 49ers. And it's not a reasonable thing to say, but I think everybody's come to grips with the fact that they're not going to play in San Francisco. They're not going to change the name to the Santa Clara 49ers. I don't think anybody wants that. So it's a little strange, but, you know, the people have just kind of learned to live with it. Certainly the team is still identified with San Francisco. It helps a little bit. The team has trained in Santa Clara for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
That's been their home base, their headquarters. They practice during the week in Santa Clara, so that's made it a tad less awkward.
Do you envision, or has anybody done any studies on, you know, do they lose fans from the San Francisco Bay Area and maybe pick up some in Santa Clara in this move? What do you think? Season ticket holders?
I've seen the studies. You know, I can't recall the numbers off the top of my head. I think it's nothing dramatic either way. I think it's a handful of, I think they expect people who are coming from San Francisco to go to Candlestick. I think most of them have proven willing to go to the Santa Clara Stadium, too. I think a lot of the season ticket holders, you know, renewed for the new stadium. So there are some changes. I can't remember, but it was nothing too jarring.
Well, the Super Bowl's coming there in February of 2016, so obviously yeah. By then they'll be all settled in. It sounds like it was kind of a magical night at Candlestick a couple of nights ago, Daniel.
Yeah, I got to say, I went into it with a little bit of skepticism, thinking I was going to see a bunch of old guys mail in an effort, get the check, and leave, and it was anything but that. It was a reminder that these guys love what they do, and I think they love being with each other, and it was really, really neat. I think some of the guys wanted to show they could still play. I mean, Roger Craig was out there going crazy, high-stepping, catching passes, and, you know, they did it all with a smile on their face, too. They were laughing. They were joking. I don't recall anybody pulling a hamstring, so that might have been the upset of the night. So Rice and Montana won together one last night. That's not too bad.
Pretty good. Daniel, thank you very much for being on the air with us tonight to talk about it. We appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Daniel Brown covers football and the Niners for the San Jose Mercury News, and he was there for the Legends of Candlestick game on Saturday night when Joe Montana threw three touchdown passes, including the final one, the game winner, to former Niners owner Eddie DeBartolo for the game-winning touchdown.